You're listening to the Right Room Podcast with me, Rupen Paul. I'm a stand-up comedian from India, and this is my weekly podcast. A show where I have conversations with people whom I consider accomplished, entertaining, and inspiring.
All right. Hey, hello, and welcome to the Right Room Podcast. You're listening to episode number 100. That is episode number 100. Wow, we've come a long way. Yes.
That's a century, bro.
So those of you are wondering who the other person is, I am here to introduce my guest for today. And like, I'm very, very happy. This is the best friend episode. And I've got my best friend, Ujjwal Raj, who is my best friend. What a way to introduce you, dude. And yeah. basically, for those of you are listening to the Right Room Podcast, you have listened to any episode among all the 100 episodes that we have done. Everything started in some way largely because of Ujjwal, because he got the artwork design and he was like one of the first person to push me to do this. So I thought this would be special, that I can, you know, end this with him. Like, there were two people who are involved really heavily in this.
End
the century, basically what I mean.
Yeah. Get the century.
I started it with Krithath.
Yes.
I started with Krithath, and he's also the other person who's really helpful. I mean, like, he basically made most of the other part of it. Like, I think it's just both you guys that made it happen. So Krithath started it and gave me all the pointers. But before Krithath was Ujjwal. And like, I think I met Ujjwal 10 years ago.
Yeah, actually, we are supposed to meet 12 years ago. But I don't know how we never met each other. Even though we were in the opposite classes in PUC. Yeah. But yeah, I know how even Krithath was helping you with the podcast and everything. So really hard to find, you know, strong friends like that, man. So you're lucky.
Yes, man, I really am lucky. I'm not getting emotional. And it's just that my throat is a little bit weird today. Yeah, guys, little COVID. It's possible. Yeah. Oh God. But this is it seems so strange, dude. Like, I met you 10 years ago, but it doesn't seem like 10 years ago at all. And even the same thing with the podcast. It seems like 100 episodes, but it doesn't feel like anything. It just feels like, you know, these 2 years and these 100 episodes have just gone by so fast.
The only thing I can say is that's what you feel like when you do what you love, bro. As simple as that.
I think so too.
You don't know how the time goes.
Yeah. I remember you and me had kind of the same path in life to some extent. Mm-hmm. We both have had a bad job. Then we've had a good job. And in between, like, we have transitioned from one thing to another. Okay.
Yeah. So I was just seeing, like, taken the biggest risk of not having a job also.
And of not having
for like a year at least.
No, I don't know how to consider that. Like, I think doing stand-up is a job.
Like a regular job is what I meant.
For a year, like, and a half.
Even the stand-up became, yeah.
Right. But I've just seen, like, the journey that we've made, and both of us have kind of been on the same journey together, right? We made this together. But yes. Like, I think the point I'm trying to make is one of the things that you told me, which I remember very, very clearly, and I want to start with that. Last year sometime, or I think even 2018, I hit the wall on something and I didn't know where to go ahead, right? And you told me, like, one very interesting thing, which is the fact that our life keeps changing, and like, our timetable or our schedule, our day-to-day schedule that we have today is not the day-to-day schedule that we had like 1 month ago. And that only shows us that our life is constantly moving and that we are growing. And I thought that is very interesting. So how did you make that connection? Because I didn't make that connection at all.
To be frank, I don't remember when I spoke to you like that and when I said that. But I'm sure whenever I'm speaking at that time, I know, okay, like, that is coming from somewhere. Like, it's not coming from me, but from my experience, from the people that I've met, and from the, you know, just intuition, bro. And I strongly felt some of the things we spoke was like really meaningful and really important for your life and my life as well. So maybe that would be like one of those conversations.
Right. Do you feel like your life is way different every single month?
Yeah. Every single day. What about month? Even this lockdown, every single day has been different to me. Even though I'm at home working. Every single day has been different. Like today was so different compared to yesterday. And I don't remember like what I did like 2 days back. It is that different.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Right. I think that also, it, for one thing, it removes the boredom aspect of life, right?
Yeah,
okay. And also the other thing is, I think between, especially you, like you have lived so many different lives in this last 10 years that I knew you. Like for those of you who don't know, like could you just quickly summarize like the last 10 years and all the different things that you did?
Actually, whenever you saying you started off saying we've been friends for 10 years, I was like shocked.
Yeah.
Like you said, you know, the time went so fast and I can't believe like we actually, you know, passed 10 years together. So that's crazy. And I just feel like college just happened like a few years back.
Yeah.
And I had a school job. And then after the school, I went for a, you know, film production company. I worked there like for 6 months. And then I'm here at Vedantu. So for me, it just feels like 3 years.
Yeah, it seems the same with me also. For me, I had like the college life. I had my IT life. And then I had like this life, which is basically the comedy life.
Yeah.
And now the new thing with like, you know, with doing comedy with my Finshots life, right? I think it's just like 4 years.
Exactly. Seriously.
Yeah.
So even if you take my life, no, like all my schooling was like in one school. So I was never a person like who was shifting schools like so many people do. Like we were just in one school for 12 years and only one college in one college, that is Christ, for like 7 years. And after that, I was there in I actually did 3 internships. One I did it in Food Lovers and then I did it in Planet Surf. And that is where you came and told me, dude, this is not you, man. Like, look at the language that you're using and look what you've become. I think we should be in a better place. And that is when the transition of from the Planets of Creations to Jyoti School happened. So for me, all these things looks like one phase. So school was one phase, then college, then the jobs that I did. So like you said, it'll just look like 3 years it's been, that's it, nothing more.
But let me get back to this place. You're working in a design company, right? And yeah, you were good in design. You're still good at design. You're great at design, right? And ideally, this should have been like your perfect job, right? Because you're still doing design and you're really good at putting together, conceptualizing stuff. But some reason, this job was horrible. Like, I could see that it was horrible on you, right? And even you didn't like it. So how do you think that's possible? Because this happens a lot. Like, for me, personally, I had a similar experience because I really liked IT. I really liked coding. And then when I did my master's, I really hated it. So what do you think happens, like, sometimes when you really like something and then you actually find out and it's actually not even anything that what you had imagined your life is going to be like? So why do you think that happens?
So it is. So it's very simple. So the job that I hated and when you met, I was there in that job only for 3 months. Can you imagine? So it was my internship for 1 month internship. It converted into a full-time job in second month itself. But in the third month itself, I started hating it because my only work was to resize pictures of Accenture employees.
Yeah.
That was the job that I was doing. And obviously, there was no creativity in it. There was no growth. Like, you knew what you were supposed to do. And to do this resize work, every day I have to get up, get ready, go in Bangalore traffic, sit there in the office. Like, I can close my eyes and I can do those things. I mean,
you don't have to be that mentally.
It was that simple. Yeah. Like, it's so robotic. It's so, there's nothing, you have to put creativity in it. So that is the main reason I just started despising that. And I started I also started changing as a person. Like, I started losing my temper and I stopped being as kind I used to be and things like that. So I felt like, okay, something's not right. And at the right time, even you met me and put in some sense in my head. And, you know, all that led to me taking a bigger decision and moving out from that place.
Yeah, I think even you have made me realize the value of friendship, like for the first time, I think, in my life, because there's, like, you were telling me about how I told you about this job, But I remember very early on in this year, on my birthday, right? On my birthday, it's just that things were really horrible at that time. Like March was the first month I had not made any money in a really long time. Because like of the lockdown, and I was supposed to do a show on March 10th, and then the lockdown was announced on March. No, not the lockdown, but our show got called off on March 9th. So the 10th show was cancelled. And I was actually looking for a job. And I was thinking of going back to an IT job where, you know, I could do IT and I can still try and do my comedy in the evening just to save my career. And you told me, dude, like, why do you want to do that? Why do you want to spend your life doing something which is not productive, where you can spend time in the office from 9 to 6 and nothing happens personally to you, nothing happens emotionally, you don't grow at all, but you make money. I think life is more than just making money. And it just made sense. And I sent a message to my boss at that time. And I said, I don't think this is going to happen. Because I think there's one of the things like, what's the worst that can happen? Let me send it off and then shut my phone down.
Yeah. Yes, I remember. And I also remember telling you, dude, even if you're looking for that, I think this happened before the lockdown also.
Yeah.
And I was telling you, bro, just try and get into some schools. Get into teaching, because you're anyway passionate about, you know, teaching people. You all also do this, train some kids, right? Some NGOs and all, you go and train. So you all already like that. And I felt instead of you going and doing some programming and coding where there is no interaction with human beings, and that is not the person that I see in you. Like, I don't think you can be a person who will be sitting in front of machines and spending a lot of your time. I don't think that is what you're made for. Like, you are a person who has to be with people and, you know, spread that positive energy that you have and make people laugh. And more importantly, I don't know if everyone sees this in you, but I think you can be a really good teacher. And I know even now you haven't explored that completely, but I'm just putting it out there. So you still have the, you know, another area of yourself to explore.
No, and I think you and me again were in the same place this time. I don't know if you remember. Like, I think once you had, this was, I think, way before the lockdown, a couple of years before we had even quit our jobs to, like, before you had quit your teaching job,
yeah,
you had to pursue films, right? And before I had quit my IT job to pursue comedy and this podcast and all of that. And you had come home and, we both are Christians, for those who are listening to the podcast, right? And, like, one of the things is we just have to go to church, even if we don't want to on Sunday, right? Because we have to take our parents. And we'd be, like, really sleepy, we're really tired of, and both of us have, like, other gigs to do, right? We have, like, comedy, yeah. Ujwal has his photography and other things. We'll be really tired. Our parents will be like, no, come to church. It's Sunday, you can't be sleeping. So we went over there, and we met one man. And he told us one thing. I don't know if you remember this. He said, the best professions are the professions which involve dealing with people, or having like some sort of a relationship or connection with people.
Correct.
And that is so true. Yes. Like, I don't think I can do any other job which doesn't involve people. Because in IT and in other processes, you just do your work and it's seen by someone who then shows it to someone who then shows it to the customer. So you don't directly deal with the customer, right? And it's so awful because it's so soul crushing. The only thing that you come every day to your office is just to make that salary once a month. So in such kind of jobs, you just feel good one day a month and you feel miserable 20 days a month.
Within 2 days.
You feel miserable within 2 days. And for the rest of the rest
because
of the
all
month.
Your EMIs will be gone. Your salary will be over. Then you'll be like... it's a rat race, bro.
When did you first realize it was a rat race for you?
I mean, movies. I personally, to be frank, I never was in that space. By God's grace. I mean, from college time, I've always, taken up jobs that I always like. You know, only the sad face was that Planet Surf. Yeah. And then when I went to school, there also I started stagnating for some time. But it was not like rat race for me. School, I never thought about money or EMIs. There was no problem for me for, you know, paying bills and stuff like that. Because everything was taken care. And my salary, my almost... 90% of my salary was being saved and there was no much expenses and all that. But why I felt like I need to leave the job, teaching job, was like whenever I used to go to school and whenever I used to take my classes, I used to feel like, you know, inspiring the kids to follow their dreams, follow their passions. I don't know. Like, I never used to plan that. But once I'm teaching, that used to happen. So yeah. I thought, okay, am I doing it myself?
Yeah.
What are my passions? Have I achieved that myself? I thought, okay, it won't be nice if I just project something that even I won't follow. So I thought I better stop teaching for now. Go out there when I have the energy and when I have my, strength. And get my passions pursued, follow my dreams, achieve them. And then when I get back to teaching, then when I say them to, you know, do those things, I will be able to be in a position where I'll tell them practically how it is possible, what all things that you'll face.
Right.
Not only if I just go and...
So it'll be more valuable because you've seen the experience first time.
Yeah.
But you were talking about like how, like from the first time in your life, like, you know, movies told you that, like, you know, there is a rat race that is there. But the thing is, many people are not aware of it. Like, it's just a term that people hear.
Yes.
And then they're aware of it probably in their 30s or in their late 20s, right? When they're deep into it and they all, it's kind of like a, you kind of get trapped in that because they're getting promoted to the next level. They're getting promoted to the level of a manager or they're trying to send you abroad. And then you realize, shit, I don't know how to get out of this because... Now with all this extra money that I'm making, I've committed to EMIs and loans. And now I have to keep this job to pay these EMIs and loans about things that I really don't care about. And people do that very late into life. So what was that one movie or that one scene in a movie or like the few movies that you saw that first made you aware of it? Do you remember?
There are many movies like Pursuit of Happiness. I mean, in that movie... You'll see how he'll struggle and everything, but ultimately what matters is his family and stuff.
Yeah.
Like he will tell like his son, like, if you want something, go get it. I mean, if we just apply that in our lives, what do we really want? Do we really want salaries?
Yeah.
Like, are we like, no, that is not what you want. Like what you want, like if we just search deep enough, we'll know. Like even now, I can't be sure, like, okay, this is, filmmaking is only what you want. Like, I'll never limit myself to that. Like, every day I'll just be open-minded to learn new things, explore in different things. I don't know. Like, I'll never... like, people say, no, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I will never have an answer for that. Because I'm a person who will... If I get inspired with something new, I might really try it. Like, you know that Rubik's Cube was never a thing that in my life, right? Like once one person came to my house and showed me this Rubik's Cube and I was like, so I just like loved it and I really wanted to learn it. Then I learned it and now I have like all sorts of cubes. And so that is how I am. Like,
yeah,
it was not even in my plan. I never planned for it, but it just happened. Like it was a new passion. Yeah. So to be frank, how I see life is like, obviously we are here for like very short time. And
do you believe that?
I would want to like, yeah.
How old do you think you'll be when you die?
I see, like I told you, right now I feel like I'm just some 7 years of life experience I have. That's all I feel.
Of experience, of actually doing shit.
Seriously.
Right, that's correct.
Seriously.
That's I would say I have about 5 years of experience I think I have.
I can understand. Seriously.
Yeah.
And you might be right, bro.
Yeah.
Because... are we like truly going out into the world and doing like exploring a lot of things? Even if you just consider the kind of dishes that we eat, the food that we eat, I don't think we will cross more than 50 for a year at least. It'll always be within those 50. Yeah. So we are not exploring ourselves or our world or anything. And I think we are just confining ourselves to like very limited things. So I don't want to be that person because the world is vast. The universe is big and I don't want to limit myself and I just want to be open-minded and I want either God or universe to put me in the right direction so that I can actually enjoy life in its fullness.
So
is what I believe in, to be frank.
No, so that's correct. I think... I probably have a different way of seeing it, but like there are two ways in which people are like at the end, two ways in which people would like to see themselves at the end of their lives. One is having gone after specific goals that they wanted. Okay. Or the second thing is I lived as many lives as I could possibly live, and I've squeezed like life completely. Like I've realized the full potential of life. I've seen like happy, really happy days. I've seen really sad days. I've traveled to like really prosperous countries. I've traveled to really poverty-stricken countries. I've met kind people. I've met assholes. I've done a wide variety of things. And through this, I've acquired such a rich experience in life. Is that what you would like to see your life at the end of your life?
What do you think?
I think so now. Yeah.
When I left the school, I told myself, okay, I'm gonna go to the world. I'm gonna become a crazy filmmaker. But now, I know like life will not always happen the way you want it to happen. But I don't know. Like right now, I'm finding peace in doing the same creativity, filmmaking and everything in a corporate setup. But still, I'm impacting like a lot of kids all over India, right? But still, I'm doing something good, something that I'm passionate about. And I don't know whether next year I'll be doing the same job or something. I might be, open to like going and doing much more better things. So that is how it is.
But I think that's a good thing because
answer your question properly.
Yeah, to some extent, because I am quite closed up in that way, right? Like for me, if given a chance, like how you were talking about like this with food, like how you would try like 50 different things in 1 year and you try and taste new things. Like I'd be open to tasting new things. But if I go to a place, like say like I have a favorite place in Bangalore which serves Tibetan food. We both know this. Right? It's called Kavakapo.
Yeah.
And I order the same. I've been going there for 10 years, and I order the I order the same thing every single time.
All the time. But you know, when you remember, like whenever I go,
you'll order something else.
We'll always try to order different things, and we'll try all the. So there should be some variety because we'll never know what truly inspires us, or we never know what we truly love.
Yeah, I always...
That will happen only when we explore a lot of different things.
I always let someone else do all the extra new ordering. And if they fail, then it's completely on them. But if they succeed, I'll order it the next time. This is my true level of friendship. Just making other people...
But it's good. It's good. It's not bad at all. Like, it's not bad at all.
No, but I think it's also different. I think I should learn to probably be more open because... being closed, you kind of restrict the new information coming in, right? The new experience that you could have. You just don't take that many chances and you just keep, it becomes routine and repetition after a long time. And though I do believe in discipline, that's one thing that I believe, like, you know, you should do the same thing even when you don't feel like it at certain times, like, you know, with respect to work and all that. But I think even being open to new information is also, I think it's the balance of both. It's being open to new information and new things and also keeping the things that work and constantly doing it, even if you don't feel like it at certain times. Don't you think?
So one thing I really like about you, right? It's your discipline, the way you plan your things and the way you be consistent with that, be it in terms of your stand-up comedy, or be it in terms of your current job that you're doing, FinShots.
Yeah.
And most importantly, be it doing your Write Room podcast regularly. I know, like, there were, like, few weeks that you couldn't do.
But probably still, a month also. You've been, in between.
Yeah, but those are, like, understandable. But overall, like, you're in the 100th episode. 100th episode, so that's not, like, a small feat.
Yeah,
like,
I should.
Many people will start podcasts, but no one will continue.
Right,
but
no.
But what you have done is, like... really commendable. Really commendable.
Yeah, but I think, so see, this is why you need good friends like Ujwal, right? Because, like, I remember he told me one hilarious thing which I'll never forget. we were trying to do something together, and like, I think I asked him, you know, like, what is my main fuck up which I can't see about my life, but everyone can see? And he told, like, it's because you're always so disciplined and so well thought and you always want to take responsibility of every situation, but you end up screwing up everything.
Yeah, like I was telling, like, Ruben will try to be the hero of the situation, but actually, when you are an outside person, when you look at it, you'll see Ruben as a comedian.
That's the story of
But in his head, he's the hero and controlling everything. But he'll look like a comedian.
I'll end up screwing every single thing. Because I'll have everything.
Tell that Tibetan auto joke.
The Tibetan...
The way you try to convince the auto guy to, you know, reduce the price
Oh, you mean like the, I think that was not in Tibet. No one has gone to Tibet. I think that was in Hampi or something, right? Yeah.
No, wait. Bhutan.
No, I think it was in Hampi. I'll tell you the story, but I know what story you're talking about. So, guys, if you're listening to the podcast, yeah. Still listening to the episode, first of all, thank you for listening. And but this happened like a couple of friends of mine and I went to Hampi really early in the morning. A bus reaches Hampi at about, I think, 5:30 a.m. Okay, so it's still like just no one is there. Very few auto drivers at the bus stand. And one of these auto drivers, he comes and he says, like, sir, I'll take you to your hotel and all. Just pay me 200 rupees, sir, 200 rupees, okay? And I, at the back of my head, is like, I'm the only guy who speaks Kannada over here. So I've got to take responsibility. It's like, 200, hey, chance illa, sir, no chance. 250, sir, come on, 250. And I was so sleep deprived and I was so sleepy. I was not even aware of what I was saying. And then all my friends are like, you idiot, why did you pay 250 when he was charging us only 200?
No one else. So that is the exact situation I was telling. So he was trying to be the hero there, but
yeah,
you know what he is now.
Yeah, man. I think this podcast, like, see, I was thinking, like, you know, what new conversation we'll have. We've had so many conversations, but actually this podcast is a good reminder for me and also people like people who are like me, who have everything planned out, to not be such control freaks, I think, and have everything down to one science. I think at certain points you have to
balance out
peace by being out. Open. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but
Just basically, you know, one more thing, bro. Like, sorry to cut you off, but a lot of times I think some people will try to be so strict, right? And say, for example, you go for a trip, and some people will, I don't know whether it is their attitude or the way they are, it'll be like they won't enjoy the moment, right?
Yeah, like me.
It'll be like they'll be.
That was like me
everything.
Until like last trip. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so just relax, take a chill pill, bro.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Enjoy the moment. Things will go fine. Like if some girls want to go and drink, it's okay. Like, let's be there to take care of them.
Yeah.
But we can't control them. At that point, we can't control them. But let's be there, like bodyguards. And, you know,
take
the situation.
Oh, that's God. I've told this story on the Frustrations podcast. I haven't told the story on the Right Room podcast. So I think I should just tell, guys, if you want to hear the story, go to the Frustrations podcast. No, but I'll tell the story like there was this one time.
Put the link now.
Me and Ujwal went for a trip. We were at this bus stop. Okay. And then there were two friends of us who were girls and they got really drunk. And they were the only two girls and both of them were drunk. Okay. So they couldn't even help each other if both of them needed each other, which happened. They both were too drunk and they needed help, and there was no like extra sober girl. So like me and Ujwal together became the extra sober girl taking care of them. So at one point they wanted to pee really bad. Okay, so we had to take them to a toilet, but there's no toilet near the bus stand. Very convenient. So the only place that had a toilet was a really shitty bar. And this bar is only filled with men. They all have like their all businesses.
And a lot of them.
And it's like just about 50 to 60 men just getting smashed, drinking cheap knockout beer.
Yeah. Even I felt uncomfortable going there. So but these girls were chill. Like,
these girls are chill because they're not like fully in their senses. They're very tipsy. All right. They've had a lot to drink. They've been drinking the whole day. All right. So now we had to take them to the toilet. And the toilet is weird because there's a commode and then there is a urinal at the same place. Okay, so now girls obviously can't use the urinal, so they have to use the commode. Okay, so there's a really flimsy door. So as soon as they come out of the door, there's a guy peeing in the urinal. So I have to be between the guy in the urinal and them using the toilet. And then I had to take them one by one to the toilet and then escort them. And in between, there are guys who are like winking, like, and they're making all of those sounds and all of that. And it was a real nightmare. And then after that was over, they're like, can we please get something to eat? They'll get something to eat. And then they'll spill it all over the entire seat. And then after that was over, we'll be like, can we please stop to pee again? And then
we wanted to play some game also, right?
And
Mafia or something.
Yeah. And then on top of this, at this point, when you're really drunk, when you've caused so much of trouble, at least go to bed, like sleep, pass out, do something. Said, can we please play a game? And we played the funniest game, right? We played, I think, like the dirtiest version of Truth or Dare. This is
correct.
And like the question that Ujwal got,
Mafia was while going,
And the question that Ujwal got was, When was the last time you saw someone naked?
Oh shit, please. Okay, let's okay. get back to the topic that we're talking that
no
time.
Way, I'm gonna go all out. You dug this hole. The question that Ujjwal
you
got,
have to edit this.
No, this is the part that's gotta be there on the podcast. When was the last time you saw someone naked? And this is hilarious. Ujjwal said
No.
2 weeks ago. And I was like, what? 2 weeks ago? What happened?
This is not going, bro.
So I thought like, okay, this is going to be really good. Tell me the story. He said, so bro, I thought like at least some cool story he's going to tell. Like, how can it be? Like, he's already started the story. So in a very cool way, like I saw somebody naked 2 weeks ago. So now I need to know what happened. So he says like, I was going to make a phone call on my terrace. Oh. Right? I was like, cool. And then what happened? And then on the right side, there was his apartment. I was like, cool, apartment. And then it said, you know, it's not like an apartment. It's an apartment with a really huge window. Like the entire hall, there's a window covering the entire hall. I said, okay, hall. What can happen in a hall? People always wear clothes in a hall. I said, there was a lady who went from the bathroom to another room and she wasn't wearing anything.
It's like, yes, that happened. Even now I remember that, because those kind of things won't happen every day. I don't think they're living here anymore.
I'm sure after she saw, did she see you?
No. Yeah. I mean, it was like a tinted window.
Okay, so you could see like everything.
You can still, yeah.
It's so funny.
But you can make out, okay. It's, yeah. It was, I don't know. That feeling was so strange. It was like, what the heck?
No,
I didn't know like where to look after that.
No, I know what the problem is. The problem is like when you see something like that, you don't want the other person to know that you have seen, because they'll be like, oh shit, this is horrible.
That person didn't know for sure. Like they wouldn't have.
How can someone be so shameless, dude? You can't just keep a window open and just walk around naked in your house.
The window was closed, but it's a tinted window and the lights were on inside, so you can see.
You have to have some. This is the problem. Have you ever? Yeah. Okay, here's the thing. Have you ever used a restroom? Okay, which has a window that is open, and then at the back of your head is like, I'm pretty sure there's someone who wants to see me. No?
I don't know, man.
This is the weirdest thing. I always, like, whenever I go to a restroom, okay, I'll ask you a question. When you go to a restroom and there's a window that's open, okay, is your first instinct before using the restroom to close that window or to just use the restroom without caring?
Window? Most of, I don't know, man. Like, if it is open, definitely I will close it, bro. I'll close it.
You close it. This is the Right Room podcast now, dude. This is a true comedy episode.
This is the wrong room right now. We are in the wrong room.
But this is actually my favorite part of the podcast so far. Like, all that feel-good bullshit about, you know, us doing well and, like, focusing on something, all that is over. Now, this is the thing about bathroom windows being open. I like this episode.
I like how it's taken a U-turn.
No, because I'll tell you a story, okay? Like, I was going to... I was in Bombay, okay? And I was going to a show. Now, when Bombay is a really huge city, so you take that local train, all right? And in between, the train had stopped. Okay, it was not a station, it was just like the open, you know, when a signal is red, right? And it was just open, and there was an apartment next to us, okay? And this is so horrible. I couldn't believe. I was like, I cannot believe this is happening, because there's an apartment over there. Okay, if there's an apartment near a railway track, shouldn't your first thought as the builder be to not keep a bathroom that's facing the track? Yes or no?
Of course. Okay. Definitely not.
second thought. If a person buys a house and this house is near a railway track and the bathroom is facing the window, shouldn't the person just keep the window closed or make sure the glasses are absolutely dark so no one can see through even during day or night?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
There was this bathroom that was there by the side of our track where there was this, I think this lady came, used the restroom, and the lights were on and the windows were open. And I was like, oh shit, I gotta look the other way. This is awful. I can't believe this is happening.
Okay.
How are people, wait, do you think at a certain point in your life, you just say, screw it, I don't care, and you just let it go? And you stop caring.
You can't keep such things in your head and Just move on, bro. That's how people are. People are so chill. Can't do anything.
Really? They don't mind. Yeah. Like, if the bathroom is near the railway track and the windows are open, they're like, screw it, I have other tensions in life and I have to just
What I'm saying is, when you get into that situation where, like, you have to look at something like that, I'm telling you, just move on.
I just be stuck in that place. Obviously, I will move on.
Like, how you're bringing that incident now in this Right Room podcast after so many days. You just move on.
I can't, dude. I can never forget that, man. This is pretty horrible. Anyway, we've never had this kind of an episode ever. But the 100th episode is a good place to start. Now, from here, it's all downhill, guys. Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
I think already people started exiting the podcast. So
it's okay even if that happens. But let's steer it back to another serious topic that I wanted to pick your head. Okay, yeah. So you're doing BSc, all right, with me. We both are studying science.
Yep.
And towards the...
I was obviously the better student.
Of course. He taught me. He was the one who was like, hey, yes. Rupan, you got to study, man. Like,
remedial classes.
You got to make a plan. Like, and I would be like, hey, Ujwala, I want to chill, dude. I want to enjoy this movie. You know, I need to bring up one more thing before I get to the story, all right? Like, we were talking about, being chilled versus being planned and disciplined, right? I think it's because you're chilled that you can watch horror movies. And it's because I think I have everything in control that I can't enjoy a horror movie.
Yeah. How many times I tried to, get you watch some horror movie? Yeah, it never worked.
It's not possible.
You can't even watch The Dark.
No, it's not possible.
And it's not even like a horror film.
I know it'll be something disturbing.
Guys, please can't. Tell him. Guys, just tell him how great that series is and just get him to watch. I want all the people listening to this podcast, watching this video, whatever, please ping Rupin, ask him to watch Dark Netflix series.
Thank you, guys. If you want to let me know, if I have to watch The Dark, please let me know. All right. Probably I'll listen to you.
Yes.
And if it's horrible, I'll let you guys know it's horrible. And you just wait for that video call. I don't care if you're a stranger also. But here's the thing. Okay, so you're doing BSc. And now, at the end of BSc, you know that you can get some sort of IT placement, which will give you like some 35,000. And if at that point, if I'm not wrong, like you needed like some amount of money. Like it was, things were not like great financially. Mm-hmm. But you said, you did a very, very different thing. You said, I'm not going to do IT. I'm not going to do a master's in IT. I'm going to do media. How did you have the courage at that time to pull that decision? Firstly. And secondly, did you have any fear at that time while making that decision?
Okay. Actually, to answer that question, I need to tell you another interesting story that happened in my life. Okay. So when I finished my BSc, right, I really wanted to do media and I don't know. I really don't know where that inspiration came from, but I'm sure I was in company of like really good people in college and everything. And at that point, even my family situation, the financial situation was very tough. So I didn't know, I literally didn't have 1 lakh rupees to get my admission in Christ for masters. And at that time, I was just sitting at home and, we were just praying with my mom, grandmom and everyone. And I just prayed, God, I really want to do this media studies. I really want to get into films. Please help me. And I want to do this course in Christ. Next day, my friend Akhil comes to my house. Like, he was supposed to go somewhere else, but he comes to my house. And I tell him the problem. Bro, this is the situation. I would like to come to your school, do some work. And some money will also help me a lot. So he takes me to his school. And there, I just speak to his uncle, who is the principal. I just spoke to him 5 minutes like this, just how I explained to you right now. That's all. I just told father. Father goes to his cabin, comes out, and he hands me a check of 1 lakh rupees.
Yeah.
That was the life-changing moment in my life. I was like, how can he trust someone whom he's meeting for the first time? And he gives me the check and he tells, this is for you and you don't owe us anything. And this money was waiting for you. That day I decided, after I finish my course, I will definitely come back to this school, work for 1 year. I decided that itself. And that 1 year became 2 years, and 2 years became 3 years. And even now, we have the same amazing bond with our school, with father and Akhil and everyone. So That's how I became a teacher. I never even dreamt of being a teacher. But that incident that happened in my life, you know, got me to become a teacher. And I did BEd while I was teaching. So now I have official certificate to, you know, teach in schools and all that. So, yeah. What was your question again?
About how you decided, like, you could just switch streams in between, even though, like, working in IT would have been more financially viable.
Correct. So that was a reason. So it was not like I planned to. My only thing was I wanted to do media. I wanted to do films. When I got into the school, I was doing the entire media work for the school, and I was doing the short films and lot of things related to films. So money was not a problem, and I never even considered like getting into corporates or getting like a lot of money or something like that. I started in school only like with 18k salary. By the time I left the school, my salary was like close to 30k. So it was always paying really well, as you know, as much as how a corporate would pay. So
that was really good.
Yeah.
Okay. So you
and then later, you know.
Yeah. So
later, you know what happened.
Yeah. So at that time, did you feel that I know I want to do media, but I don't know how I'm going to do media, and you just left it open to like maybe God or universe, like how you always say? Or did you particularly pursue like a path to make that happen?
No, Rupen, if you remember, in our college, right, I never used to like any of the subjects,
right?
Like electronics or maths, I never even understand. I don't know why we did all the subjects.
Even I don't know why.
But
yeah.
But when I was doing computer science, there was one class in you don't know this because you were in we had different classes, no?
Yeah, mine towards the honors, towards the end, like honors. Me and Ujwal had to switch classes. Yeah.
Yeah. So at that time, we had one class where the teacher has to take computer science for us. What is that? Photoshop. They were supposed to teach us designing. By that time, I only was going to all my seniors and asking them, can I do this? Because in Christ, there used to be like a lot of posters, right?
Yeah.
And I used to be like, I can do this better. Like, I feel like I need to do something like that. So whatever events we had in our department, I used to go to teachers, I used to go to the concerned people, ask them, can I please do this poster? So I used to go to people, ask what's happening, what are the events? And I used to go to my seniors, get the softwares, learn from them, then design everything. Then go to the printing place, then get the things printed, come to the department, get the money for those things, and go get a lot of prints, go and put it in different places. Like basically entire marketing I used to do for every event. I just genuinely liked it, and I literally went behind people to learn that craft. And I don't know like how it started. I really don't know. And that is the reason why I knew, okay, this is where my strength is. I really like to do creative stuff, something that involves, you know, creativity, arts, you know, films, posters, designs. So I just went into that field itself. And even if you know, when your comedy started, like I used to start designing posters for you and some of your friends.
Correct.
So I really used to enjoy those things. I never did it for like money or anything, but I really, you know, genuinely enjoy those things.
Okay, so you just...
So that is the reason, yeah.
Yeah. So how do you stop yourself if you ever feel like, you know, do you ever feel like fear coming in the way of what you want? Like, for example, when you're pursuing like media, do you ever feel like, oh my God, how is it going to happen? How do you stop yourself? Or you just believe that it's going to happen? How do you personally deal with it?
What will happen? What do you mean? Like
say you're making a decision.
What is the fear you're talking about?
Say you're making a decision like this, okay? Like, or say like someone who's listening to this podcast right now has led life a certain way. All right, like I'm in this particular path, in this particular sphere of life. I've chosen this path because I know at the end of this path, there's stability, there is financial security, and all of this. And then at some point, you kind of come to a crossroad. Okay, I can either go down this path or I can go down this path, which is a little bit risky, and I don't know if I'm going to make it out on this path. But I think this is the path that's going to make my life more meaningful. Okay, because I'm sure like you have reached that crossroad, I know, like at different points. right?
Yeah.
So how do you choose, how do you personally, like, do you consciously know that at that time this is a crossroad and I've got to make the right decision?
Yes. And of course, like you said, there were two major crossroads and you were there in that point also. Like, if you remember.
Right. I kind of know what advice I gave you, but what did you feel during those two crossroads?
So in the school time, one thing I strongly felt was there was, because I never thought that I'll be teaching for a long time. And my strength was mainly into filming. And even the my colleagues in the school also noticed that. And they were also like, some teachers were like, sir, like, I think you're in the wrong place. And you should be like in movies, like you should be in film industries doing this kind of editing work and all that. So I felt, so those kind of things also like gave me like a hint saying, okay, I think I better have to move here, because not only myself, but people around me are also noticing that in me, that I have like good skill for these kind of things. So those are the things that really helped me in my, when I was in the crossroads, like not only your own strengths and beliefs, but also the people whom you trust and who are, who doesn't have anything negative intentions towards you or anything, but then they really wish well for you and they also know what is actually good for you. So those kind of things like really helped. And also definitely even you were there in that point and even you noticed those things and even you made me take the right decision.
Right. I think like one of the themes.
So it was all.
Yeah. I was going to say like one of the themes of both our friendship. Our friendship has been always something like, you know, seeing how it's going to be later on. Not just right now. And I think that's an important thing that I've believed in at many points. Like, am I going to regret that I didn't make this particular life choice? Or am I going to tell like my future self, like, at least I tried and maybe it didn't work out and I found a way to, I once found something else better and I learned from it.
Exactly. So like we spoke in the beginning, we said, right, would you choose like one set goal or would you like to have variety of things explored? I mean, it's very easy to say, I just want to have the universe to guide me and everything. But even to do that, you need right people and you need to have, because you can't live in this world for free. Like, nothing will come for free.
Yeah.
You need to earn in some way to just sustain yourself. But when you're getting an opportunity to do those living while you're doing what you like and while you can earn the same time, that's a better way to go. And I think I'm lucky enough to have such paths in my life where I'm doing what I like and also I'm getting paid for doing that.
Okay.
Like right now in Vedanta also, I'm just, you know, making films, editing. These are the things that I'll never complain. I'll never say like, I'm working so hard. I'll never say those things, because I really like doing these things. And whenever the people see my work, they will come and recognize me. They'll appreciate me. Even today, just before this call, we had to do two teasers. I did those things and people were like sending so many mails. And one of the teachers, she asked me personally to send that video that I edited. So these kind of things like really matter. Like people are recognizing your work and you'll feel like, okay, actually I'm doing something good where other people are getting benefited. Other people like the work that you're doing. So ultimately that. So it's coming back to the same thing where whatever we do should impact people directly. And when you can see that impact happening, I think that's the best way.
Yeah, I would say the same thing, right? Because I think that's a much more valuable feedback than money or a promotion or like other success parameters.
Seriously. Promotions, salary hikes, all those things will not beat people coming to you directly and appreciating what work you're doing or just being who you are. Just people just valuing you for who you are is worth more than any kind of promotions or any kind of salaries and all those things. If people are coming to you, if people are recognizing, okay, there is something valuable in Rupin, and I want to, if people come to you specifically and, you know, they acknowledge and ask you for those things, that time you'll feel, you feel accomplished, right? In the sense, you feel a sense of value. So I think that's like really important. Than just like working where no one will even notice what you're doing. I don't think I will go for that. And that never happened also.
Because even this podcast, I think the highlight of it has been like people sending me messages saying, like, you know, I listen to it because I'm far away from India and it helped me. This particular episode really helped me. Like this person coming and speaking about mental health really helped me. This person coming and speaking about comedy really inspired me to keep pushing and keep trying. This person coming and telling me about how they started a business really motivated me. And I think that is very important because I've reached, I think we have reached out to at least a few people whom I've never met at all. And
at least 100 people, bro. Because 100 episodes.
At least 100 people. No, the thing is some episodes I've done by myself also. So I've reached out to myself also. Yeah.
Okay. Even I might have just listened to like say 10 episodes of yours.
Probably, yeah. You shouldn't be listening to everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, but I think like at least that, at least I know that, you know, at least there's a knowledge that this podcast has benefited someone. So I think it's very, you said it absolutely right when you said like, at least if it benefits a few people and that comes back to you, it's much more valuable than salary.
These kind of things I learned in school actually. So whenever you just put like small effort to like, say, for example, today you're taking a class and one student came and asked you some doubt, like instead of just not solving the doubt of that kid, you just tell, okay, let me just find out and get back to you. And next day, you just take the small effort and find out what the kid asked. You go and help that kid the next day. You know, the kind of gratitude and the kind of the way they become happy, you will know in that. So that is where the true happiness is. Like you are giving someone like something they really wanted. And if you're able to do that for someone and that will make them happy, like that's the best feeling.
Right.
And that is more valuable than anything that we do.
Hmm.
Like that's why like whenever any people come and ask me for any kind of help, I will never say no, I'll never say I can't. I will just try my best to, you know, do it. Because what is more important than, you know, helping others? That is what I feel.
I wanted to ask you another question with respect to music. Right, because it's very fascinating because I've been playing since I think class 8 and Ujwal just picked up the instrument I think when he was 23 or 24 probably.
2015.
How old? 23. You would have been 23.
Five years back.
Yeah, 23, which is 23.
Yeah, I was 23 or something.
23, like. Right? And Ujwal has surpassed me and it's amazing to see. And I think that's just proof that at any age you can just decide to do anything with your life.
So seriously true, man. That's so true. Yeah. We should never limit ourselves. Like even you, I think maybe like after 2 years, you'll be like, no, dude, I'm going to quit everything. I'm going to quit comedy. I'm going to quit writing podcast. I'm just going to start my own farm.
Yeah, that won't happen.
And you might excel at it.
I might start a farm. Like it's like that's one of our Ujwal and me keep talking about it all the time. Like as soon after we've finished everything in our life, right? And then we should just stick to sustainability and farming.
Yes.
That's like a plan for both of us. But this is so fascinating, dude. Like I'm learning some things right now. It's like a learning session for me right now, this entire podcast is. Even though like I know you for 10 years and I've had like so many conversations, I've done so much of shit together, right? And seen like good things and bad things. But like right now, I'm truly understanding what it is to remove like blocks from your mind. And even this is also very fascinating when you started learning guitar at the age of 23 and you picked it up so well. You didn't just learn it to say like, okay, can I just learn enough to call myself a guitarist? No, you actually pushed yourself further and further and further. Said like, how can I learn more? And I think even still today, because of that open-minded attitude, you still progress so much. And I think that's pretty cool to observe from as a friend, that you have kept your mind quite open so you can grasp more information.
Thank you, bro. And these words just motivated me to learn even more.
Yeah, but don't irritate me with any Rubik's Cube videos. That's all. Oh God, how many videos I have to deal with that? Oh fuck. I was saying Sujwar picked up.
No. Learn more of guitar. Learn more of guitar.
All right. Okay, cool. All right. That's another very cool thing that he brought into my life. Okay. Which is our love child. No, I'm just joking. the other thing that he brought into my life is there was this one time I remember that one day I was very, very sleep deprived. Okay, and I had not slept in a long time. And the thing is, this was also during the time when I was to do a lot of shows on the weekend. And because I do a lot of shows on the weekend, the shows were so high energy and I had such an adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
I couldn't bring it down.
You couldn't sleep.
I couldn't sleep because my mind will be so active. Like, wow, that show was so awesome. Wow, that show was so awesome. Wow, that show was awesome. And there'll be so much of excitement in your entire body. Like, your whole body is filled with adrenaline that you can't sleep. And then you showed me, like one day I was not able to sleep and you played this meditation track for me, which was like a sleep meditation track. And I don't know what the hell happened till today. I've still not found that track, but I listened to it and within 15 minutes, I was asleep.
I have the track, I'll send you.
You can send it to me, I'll send it to my listeners also. But I was asleep, so how the hell
I think it was Vishen Lakhiani's. Thing.
No,
or it might be honest guy's sleep meditation.
I think it's honest guy's sleep meditation because and then you introduced me to the six phase meditation by Vishen Lakhiani, and
that is for daytime. We'll do that. Yeah,
yeah, guys, I'm telling you, if you have not meditated and you want a great starting point to meditation, the six phase meditation by Vishen Lakhiani is, I think, your starting point.
Perfect.
Because it's so well designed and it doesn't feel like you're meditating because he's telling you to think of specific things. But where did you discover this entire technique and Vishen Lakhiani?
So again, this goes back to school only when I was teaching. So in the school, every day we had to start our school with prayer and meditation. And in the school, they used to follow some Chinese practice called Falun Dafa. And that is something like, you can say something like yoga, but it's a little different. It has its own scripture and all that. There, they do exercise for 1 hour every day, dedicated, all the students. Can you imagine a class, like class 1 to 10th, absolute discipline and everyone are in the same discipline level and no one is like mimic, no one is like playing games or no one is messing around, no one is trying to do any naughty stuff. Everyone are like so sincere and so serious about the exercise that they do. And you can feel that presence, bro. Like when you're there in the school, like you just have to be there to experience it. Like even if you're not in the state of meditating or anything, like say you're sleep deprived. Next day you go to the school and those students are meditating. All that deprivation and all that negative energy or whatever lethargy that you have, it'll just vanish. And I'm not even kidding, it'll definitely happen. Because even in school when we were working like for like 3 to 4 days continuously during the school day times and all, because we had to do like a lot of work, get a lot of things sorted. So we'll be having sleepless nights. On the day of school day, they will start with this exercise. The moment I do that exercise, I'll just feel like I just had like one full day of break and I had like one amazing 8 hours of sleep. That is how I feel after doing that meditation. So that is when I started exploring more. Every day I used to do like more and more meditation and even now I try to do every day. So, and when I just kept Googling and stuff, so YouTube algorithm suggested me Vishen Lakhiani's meditation, and that is when.
But he just wanted through a recommendation, like sorry, through the algorithm.
Yeah, YouTube. Like no one told me about Vishen Lakhiani's. It was YouTube.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm not even kidding.
Ah, okay. But I think that.
I think it happened in 2015 only. I found out about Vishen Lakhiani's.
But I think that.
And even now. Go on.
No, I think that meditation, it has one phase about visualizing, right? Like visualize your perfect day, correct. Visualize yourself 3 years from today and all of that.
Yeah.
And that kind of, I don't know, that's, I don't even know how visualizing works as a science. But all I know is that it works. Because like the things that you visualize actually happen.
Yeah. The table that I'm sitting right now, the chair that I'm having right now, the kind of setup I have in my room right now, it was not there. It was like totally different. And you know that.
Yeah.
And I just kept visualizing that I want to make my room like a studio. And now it is like a proper studio. Like people can come here and they'll be thinking, okay, this is an actual studio. That is how good it is right now. Because I just kept visualizing it and I made it happen. I mean, it happened. I didn't make anything happen, but it happened.
It's pretty spooky.
It's true. It works. It works.
Yeah. No, there was one. I remember there was very clearly one day when I had just quit my job. Okay. And I had visualized about that day, I think a year ago. But you know, it's, you visualize in the meditation, you do the meditation, you visualize it, and in such a way, like you visualize it 3 years from today, right? And they said, like, visualize your perfect day. And I visualized, like, I had woken up in the morning, then I'd gone, got a workout, then I'd gone and worked on, like, my comedy for a while. I sat and wrote some new comedy, then spent some time with my parents, had, like, a really good meal, then afterwards go and do some reading, do some research, then get ready for your open mic in the evening, then go crush that open mic and do really well, get paid for it, and also go and meet some friends. And one day when I had quit my job, all of it happened in almost the exact same way. And I was like, oh shit, this is just the day that I visualized a long time ago. So it was pretty cool to see it come together. And I think that visualizing...
Yeah. See, it's not spooky, it's crazy. It's cool, actually. It's not spooky, it's cool. And I think more people should try it. And you should... the one thing that you need to do is you need to believe it happening. Like, you need to believe it happening and it will happen.
To be honest, I didn't really believe that it will happen immediately. I just opened myself to the possibility that, yeah, it could happen and I could see it happening.
But one thing I remember, like, the time when COVID happened and you didn't have comedy and when you didn't have any job.
Yeah, didn't have a social
at that time. So at that time I knew, like, I was visualizing that you will be in within this year only, you'll be having a good job and you'll be, like, in a very good position and you'll be, like, happy. I could see it and I could believe it. I was believing that it will happen and I was not worried, you know. Oh, Rupan is not having a job right now. Like, that kind of thought never came. And I knew, dude, things gonna work out. It will happen. And it happened. And it happened with you. And even it happened with Cyril, if you remember.
Yeah, who's another friend of ours.
Cyril also was in a... Yeah. He was also in a similar position. And he called me and he was like, bro, I don't have a job now. We need to look for it.
Yeah.
Dude, like, don't worry. Like, chill. It will happen. What is for you, it will come to you. There is no way it will not happen. Like, it's already... there, it's already yours, it'll come to you.
Yeah, I think,
and it is happening. Yeah,
no, I think that's really, you brought up a valid point, because you told me not to take that horrible IT job, right? You said it's not you using your full potential, and I said no to it. And then for the next 3 months I didn't have a job, right? I didn't have a job.
I felt bad at that time.
Yeah, and Ujwal felt horrible. He was calling me and said, like, dude, I feel so sorry, man, like, that you made this decision because of me. I said, no, dude, it's not because of you. You did the right thing. And, you know, like, at my house, right, because I stayed with my parents, they were after my life. Like, my mom was after my life saying, like, get that job back. Call them up and tell them that you need that job back. And I was saying, no, it didn't seem like the right thing. I'm not going to get that job back. And even though I, like, my account savings and everything just took a massive hit, like, all that I had saved and plus all that I invested, like, you and me, like, had so many conversations about investment and I was so optimistic about the future and I was like, yeah, let me invest. And, like, my investments took a massive fall, right? And even after all of that, even after 3 months, and when you don't have a job, it's a horrible feeling. Like, if those of you who have lost a job right now, if you're listening to this, it's pretty bad because your entire value just depreciates after that. Like, you don't feel like, you know, you're providing. You don't feel like you're there for your family. You don't feel like, you know, that you're there for yourself. And it just feels like they disqualified you from running the race. And especially at a time when you have commitments, like, and the older you grow, it doesn't matter, like, if you're married, single, have children, don't have children. But the older you grow, the more responsibilities that you do have. When you're a kid, when you're 15, 16, you don't have anything to care for because everything is given to you. But then when you become a 20-year-old, you're like, okay, no one's going to give me shit. I've got to make shit happen in my life. And when you're at that stage, it's pretty devastating when you actually lose a job. And at the same time, you know, you shouldn't settle for less, which is something that I've learned from you. And also an idea that we have discussed a lot about not settling for less. in getting a shitty job just because it's going to plug that hole of your finances not being in a great shape, or getting a shitty job even though it's going to take so much of time, but it's going to give you some sort of a security in taking care of a certain set of responsibilities. Like, I think we have both learned and seen that it doesn't matter if it's a difficult situation, but you still have to make the right decision. And like me, I've seen it personally in this lockdown for the first time, because I said no to a couple of jobs, even though in these 3 months, my account balances were only reducing and reducing and reducing and reducing, right? And there was no sign of stand-up happening. There were no shows that were happening. There was nothing. It was just running completely on faith, saying that I'm going to get something at the right time. And eventually I got this job. It's like, what? I get a job which is so cool, where I actually can make videos and tell stories and do my podcast, right? And when it came, I was like, the only thing that I told myself, this is just proof of not settling for less.
Yeah.
Even if it gets really difficult.
Correct. And you just have to be patient, and you just have to believe that, okay, what is there for me will come. And that is what exactly happened with you, right?
And this is another thing with job search, right? Like, if those of you are still listening, job searches happen in a weird way where you feel you're going to get a particular job, and then that's the job that just closes its doors on you.
You will not get.
And then something better happens after that. For me, I think that happened about twice in this entire job search. I almost thought I'm going to land a job because the interview was awesome, and then they said, we have decided to move ahead with another candidate. And then I heard that again. But like, the one thing is that I taught myself, I'm so happy that I didn't have this job and no source of income. I taught myself that it's okay to get rejected. Like, even if I get rejected, nothing's going to happen to me. Like, what's the worst that can happen to me? Yep. Someone's going to say they don't like me. And I just taught myself to be cool with it. And eventually something came. And I think that's an important learning for me that I've had during this time. Like, just taught myself to, like, for people to send me like horrible messages.
One more important point that came to my mind, okay, when you were saying this. We should not even be in position like where we are searching for jobs and things like that. I know, like, I'm just taking a wide topic right now. What I'm trying to say is, we should aim for a world where the students, like, when you're a kid, right, you should be given opportunity that time itself. Like how I was telling you in the beginning, like, we should be able to explore a lot of things and find what we are really good at, right? That should not happen after we graduate from college and stuff like that. And that is when we'll end up, you know, situations like this where we are searching for jobs and stuff. But imagine if when we're in the school itself, we don't have like regular textbooks and stuff like that, but we also have some things like arts and so many other things where we are open to explore every single thing. And that time only we'll find out where we are really passionate about. And after 2 to 3 years, just specialize in or take up the field that you really like in the school stage itself. And you build a career of your own. You will be having some values. You'll be having some valuable services to offer. Build your career from there itself. And you don't even have to wait until you come out of school or until you come out of college. Like right now, so many students, so many kids are doing YouTube videos and they're like really doing really well. People are like just, you know, reviewing like toys videos and they're like really doing really well. So things like that.
Yeah, but if my kid comes and says I'm reviewing toys and all that, I'll be like, hey, come on, that you do on the side. Think of something else.
So this is the mentality that we have to come out of it. Seriously. The kid, if you just let the kid keep doing the toys,
he'll eventually figure out something.
He will do it, but eventually, so much freedom you had given the kid. After some time, the kid will be like, I think I'm done with doing this toy review. I think I'll just become a better manager in the company who makes these toys. I'll tell them how to make better toys. So like that, the kid will improve.
Awesome.
So that is what we should aim for.
I think two things that came to my mind. The first thing is, with just what you said, I think we should allow kids to make more of their choices by themselves, firstly.
Yeah. We should give them opportunity to explore different things.
Right. And
the teacher should be the persons who are guiding them to identify where they're good at.
Okay.
And pushing them in that place. That's it.
Right. I think that's the first thing that I would say. Like, I think it's a significant decision every parent has got to make is say, like, you really can't inform your parents, your child's choices to a huge degree. You can probably tell them by your example of how you didn't take shortcuts or about hard work, about ethics, about all that. But you can't really tell them, like, hey, this is what you should do, this is what you should not do. I think that's something that they learn from you. So if you have screwed up, then you probably, you can't help it that much. You have to let kids figure out for themselves. And also, much of the learning that we all have is lessons that we have learned from our own life.
Yes.
So I think by allowing kids to make mistakes and telling them it's okay to make mistakes, you're telling them to be people that they can think on their feet and make better decisions in the future.
Correct. So imagine if we had been in that situation, like how you said, you wouldn't have taken 28 years to reach to this place.
That's right.
I wouldn't have taken 28 years to reach to this place. We would have already surpassed this.
I would have taken 25.
Of us doing this podcast and things like that. Not with 25, bro. It would have been even lesser.
Right.
And right now we would have an, I don't know, like an empire or something like that.
No, I definitely...
It's really possible.
Which is what my second point was going to be. My second point was going to be, I think kids have to be taught by people who have made a living for themselves and also have known how to take care of themselves. Because most of the people who are teachers, sadly, the people who are teachers are people who can tell a student how to integrate well in society. I think kids already know that. Mm. I think more than telling kids how to integrate in a society by getting a job and getting employment and then getting married and having children, is how you can take care of yourself even if there's no one to take care of you. How can you be a caretaker instead of, you know, how can you be a provider? How can you build a new empire? I think that's something that kids need to be taught.
Why I'm getting these thoughts, right? So now I'm in a situation where I'm taking interviews of like a lot of people. So I have interviewed close to like 100 people only for one position. Only for one position. I've interviewed like more than 100 people. And I really don't see any drive in some people. There is no drive. They just want the job so that it can just pay them.
They can get the salary.
Yeah. They will come to the interview. I'll ask them, like, do you know the name of the company? Close to 10 people didn't even know the name of the company. They were like, no, someone just called me and they told that I have an interview. So, can you imagine, bro?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think human beings should be like to that level. At least people who are educated enough, right? So we should be people where we know what we want to do in life and we need to offer those services. Like, at least if you're in a place where you are looking for a job, you should at least know what you want, and at least you should do like minimum research of things that you like, you know, getting into stuff like that.
So like,
ultimately what I'm trying to say is we should not even be in this situation. All these things can like drastically change when things are started like really well in the school time itself.
All right, we have to cut to the end of this podcast. It's too late.
Oh my God, we spoke for 2 hours almost.
It's 1:55. Yeah, we spoke for 2 hours. So guys, thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Ujwal Raj for sharing knowledge and experience and stories in this podcast. And this is episode number 100. And thank you guys for listening so far. I don't know if all of you have checked out all the episodes, but there are some episodes that I'm really proud about. And which we answered a couple of questions, which has been on everyone's minds. And the questions like, you know, why are we single? Why are we sad? Why are we depressed? Why do we have horrible jobs? Why do we have horrible families? To some extent, we have answered all of that in this podcast. So if you have liked this podcast, God bless you. And if you have spread this word, that's wrong English. If you have spread the word about this podcast to your friend, I really appreciate it. And both me and Ujwal are really happy to be here. And hopefully we shall see you soon with a new episode.
Thank you, Rupen, for having me on your podcast. It was
no man. Thank pleasure. You. Like Ujwal, actually, I had to mention one more thing before coming to the end of this podcast. Ujwal has saved my life on multiple occasions. Okay, not that I almost tried killing myself, but I'd be like really sad and like, dude, what's the point, man? No one cares, and he'd be like, no, dude, it's pretty good. Just keep going.
And you have been that person to me as well, for sure.
Thanks, Ujwal.
Thank you, bro. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Right Room Podcast. If you like my work, do follow me on Instagram, where I go by the handle of @PaulRupen. That's a PaulRupen. Do subscribe to the podcast on whatever application you use. My podcast is out on a bunch of streaming applications like Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, and on Google Podcasts. And if you like the podcast, do give me a review. See you next week with a new guest and a new story.